What do you know about Vladimir Putin's family? Well, probably not much. The president's personal life has been thrust into the spotlight when two of his daughters were sanctioned by the US, with Europe looking to follow suit. And overnight, further actions have been taken against Russia, with the country being suspended from the UN Human Rights Council. Stephen Lee Myers investigated the Russian leader's private life in his 2015 biography, The New Tsar, The Rise and Reign of Vladimir Putin. He's a New York Times journalist and the paper's former Moscow bureau chief, and he joins us this morning. Stephen Lee Myers, welcome to RN Breakfast.
It's good to be with you.
Western sanctions initially targeted Putin and Russia's powerful oligarchs. So why has the US decided to move on Putin's family now?
It seems like the strategy is to increase pressure step by step as the war drags on. And they started with, you know, initially a few officials and people close to Putin. But I think they felt like they need to continue to ratchet the sanctions up and target more people. The Department of Treasury in Washington, you know, specifically said that they were trying to reach money they believed actually belonged to Putin himself, is being held in the name of his family members. And that seems to be why they decided to take this move.
Okay, so what do we actually know or suspect about Vladimir Putin's daughters and the way these financial arrangements work?
Well, first, he's kept them out of the public spotlight from the beginning of his presidency in 2000. And at the time, in the beginning, they were still quite young. And I think some of that was for security reasons. You know, Russia was at war in Chechnya. And I don't think many people question that. But then obviously, as they've grown old and established lives of their own, they've come into greater prominence, but have never really been acknowledged as his daughters, even as they took on more public roles and began to speak in public, take on leadership positions in various companies, many of them tied to the state. And, you know, even now, even recently, he's been coy about that, saying that he prefers that they, you know, are able to live normal lives outside of the public spotlight. The question on the, you know, on the assets is difficult to answer. I mean, that's been the challenge with Putin's wealth and the wealth of people around him for you know, decades now. And, you know, it seems not surprising that his daughters both are involved in companies that have extremely lucrative contracts with the government. You know, whether or not they earn those or, you know, are somehow, you know, that's a way to, you know, siphon off government assets into their personal accounts. It's difficult to say, but there's no question, like many of Putin's former friends and colleagues from when he was young, that, you know, they've done quite well for themselves.
We know the president divorced his wife nearly a decade ago. Do we know much else about his personal relationships?
We don't. And there have been a lot of rumors that have associated him with other women, other children as well. None of those have been confirmed. And I think it's probably wise to take some of those with a grain of salt. You know, as he's, you know, continued in office, especially in the last decade or so after his divorce, he sought to sort of portray himself as this father figure of the nation, keeping his personal life almost entirely secret, to the point that people don't really even know what he does on his time. I mean, his spokesman will say that he's, of course, always working, and at one point even that he was, you know, married to the country, as it were, married to his job. But what he does on a personal level has become even more opaque than it was before.
And this isn't the first time there's been a push to sanction Putin's daughters. In 2014, one of them was reportedly living in the Netherlands when MH17 was down. What happened in that scenario?
Well, as far as we know, they left the Netherlands, and that wasn't an official sanction so much as, you know, I think anger among the Dutch about the shooting down of that airline in Crimea in 2014. But, you know, I the question for policymakers in the United States and Europe who are pursuing this is whether or not this pressure on family members will have any effect on Putin's decisions. And if you look back at 2014, you know, the measures that were taken then clearly didn't deter him from the war that he started this time around. And the newest round of sanctions, as we've seen with his daughters, it is, you know, I think a sign that, you know, the United States and Europe want to be tougher this time, but I'm still not sure that we're going to see much change in Putin's behavior.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast, and our guest is New York Times journalist and the paper's former Moscow bureau chief, Stephen Lee Myers, who has written extensively about this issue. The fighting in Ukraine continues seemingly unabated. So how much impact are these sanctions actually having?
You know, there's no question that the impacts on Russia have been great already in terms of the financing, the stability of the currency and so forth. You know, how long Russia can sustain that? You know, they Putin, some would say, wisely built up essentially a nest egg to protect Russia from this kind of step. And, you know, at least so far, it doesn't seem to have had much of an effect, or at least not as much of an effect as the actual fighting on the ground, which has forced Russia to retreat in several areas and regroup, though not entirely to stop. And I think as this goes on, if this goes on, you're going to see probably more of an economic impact on both the Russian people, who are always going to suffer first, but then also on the war machine, as it were.
You've investigated what drives Vladimir Putin in your biography of him. Is there anything the West can do to pressure him to back down?
You know, from his point of view, the West could surrender, and they could leave him alone and leave Ukraine to Russia's sphere of influence. I think that's what it would take. I mean, he's, you know, for almost from the beginning of his presidency, has been obsessed with the fate of Ukraine. That goes back to the initial protest that came to be known as the Orange Revolution in 2004. You know, Russia's always intervened in Ukraine. They've always sought to keep it within, the embrace of Moscow. Culturally, politically, economically. And, you know, Putin has warned Western leaders for years now that he wouldn't abide by Ukraine, you know, veering off out of Russia's orbit into Europe, into the European Union, even, but especially into NATO, the military alliance, which remains, you know, enemy number one for, you know, the Russian military. So, you know, I think as long as this tension exists between Ukraine's national aspirations and Putin's vision of Ukraine as an appendage of Russia, you're going to see this conflict continue, even if the fighting stops.
Just finally, Russia has been suspended from the Human Rights Council after a UN General Assembly vote. Will the Kremlin care?
They'll pretend they don't care, I think. But, you know, that said, you know, Russia does care deeply about, you know, how it's perceived in the world. And, you know, it has a sense of grievance that it's not respected. And I think this action, as well as a lot of the others, will be symbolic, diplomatically speaking, but I think will sting a little bit because, you know, they don't want to be seen as completely out of step with international norms.
Stephen, thank you for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Stephen Lee Myers is the author of the 2015 biography of the Russian president, The New Tsar, The Rise and Reign of Vladimir Putin.